Well, good morning once again, everyone. Missed you last week. I was visiting Abilene, the ecclesia there in Texas that I'm from, and I sent our love to them, and they have sent it back. So I bring with me the love of Abilene back to you. They did want it. They certainly accepted it. Yeah, but it's been neat to see how that ecclesia has grown and changed over the last 2 years, and they're getting very organized now. They got lots of business meetings going on, emails being sent out through the week, so things are going good there. And this morning, like we said, our title for this exhortation is Tent Thinkers. Tent Thinkers, yep. And so tents are mentioned all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. You think about Abraham, who dwelled in Ur of the Chaldees, and he was called out, and he dwelled in tents and went wherever God told him to go. Abraham's son Isaac, Isaac's son Jacob, they all dwelled in tents. And the children of Israel also dwelled in tents in the wilderness. For over 40 years, they went from place to place, all that time being in tents. We think about the Ark of the Covenant. That was placed in the tabernacle, which was a very ornate tent, as we know. And it was in that tent that God chose to reveal himself to the high priest and commune with Israel. And in the Law of Moses, God even dedicated a special feast in relation to tents. That's the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. So this morning, I want us to take a closer look at the tents that we find in the Bible and see what lessons that we could learn as an exhortation. I'm sure you're going to see something, that there is something special about the tent mindset, because I want us all to be tent thinkers. And so before we get into some of the scripture, think about, when would you camp in a tent? It's usually when you're maybe a weekend gathering, you go together and you pack up the car, you unload your tent and you're camping, and it's a time when you need this temporary structure, a temporary home. A place that you could quickly set up, and a place that you could quickly pack up when it's time to go. I used to camp for a week in December in Texas, and it was at the Texas Youth Conference. And it would get pretty cold most years. You'd be out there, and it dips below freezing. And I learned pretty quickly that you needed to layer your clothing. You know, put three pairs of socks on. You know, a couple of pairs of pants, sweaters. But I could never keep my nose warm. It was always cold in the morning. And also in the next, when I woke up, I wouldn't change clothes in the tent, because you'd look over at my pair of jeans and there's this crystalline frost on the jeans. So you'd always have to go back inside to change. A couple of times I've been in tents during thunderstorms, and talk about an amazing experience. You have this mixture of fear and wonder all at the same time. Because you just look through the canvas, you see the flashes of lightning. And you hear this incredible amount of noise going off right outside your door. And it's during times like that that I think of the book of Job. And let me read this verse from the book of Job that I think of from time to time. And it's when Elihu talks at the end, talking about the voice of the Almighty. It says, "At this also my heart trembles and leaps out of its place. Keep listening to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it go, and his lightning to the corners of the earth. After it his voice roars, he thunders with his majestic voice. And he does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend." Always think of that section of verses, you know, when you're in a tent during a thunderstorm. It's just a really amazing experience. There's one year I was camping with my two buddies, Josh and Isaiah from San Diego, and I had a cot on one side of the tent. Isaiah had a cot on the other side, and Josh was right in the middle, and it was during a thunderstorm. It started raining, it was just pouring, and all of a sudden we looked up at the tent, and there was a pool of water starting to form right in the middle of the tent. And then it started dripping slowly, and then it just started dripping constantly through the night, and woke up the next morning, I was completely dry, and so was Isaiah, because we were off the ground, but Josh was soaked, so he had to sleep inside for the rest of the week and also get a new sleeping bag. And so you're right there in the elements with the tent. That's what I'm getting at with this. you're right there in the elements, and it's at those times when I really tend to appreciate the things that God has created more. Because you look outside in the evenings, you look at the stars in the sky. In the mornings, you open up the tent and you see the dew on the blades of grass as you awake in the morning. You see the beauty of creation. And so the first lesson of being a tent thinker is to have an appreciation for what God has created and have a respect for his mighty power. And it's a very humbling thing to see what God's created. You look at the big things like the mountains and the big trees, and then you also tend to appreciate the small details of life. You look down at the ground and there's a whole new world right below you. And so all these details, so have an appreciation for those things as a tent thinker. I also look at different cultures that have traditionally lived in tents, and the first one that comes to mind for me is Native Americans. You know, recently I read a book about the Indians that lived in Texas. It was a particular group that was there. It was the Comanche Indians, and they were expert tent dwellers. They would follow the buffalo from place to place, and they would pack up and go, and they were very efficient at this nomadic lifestyle. And as the herds would move on, they would move on too. And their whole lives were dependent on following the buffalo, you know, their food, their clothing, their weapons, their tents, everything was dependent upon this buffalo. And you think about a teepee structure, it's very easy to put up and disassemble and take with you. And they didn't have too many material possessions either, nothing too heavy, nothing too bulky that they couldn't carry with them. And their currency was actually horses, because horses were easy to move around, and there was transportation, and they were also very good forms of currency. And they never let anything go to waste. That's one thing that really fascinated me about them and their lifestyle. They were always very resourceful with everything that they had. And then when we consider spiritual lessons that you could take from that, is that we need to be resourceful with what God has given to each one of us. Whether that be our own talents or our abilities, or maybe it's a situation that God's put you in, we need to be resourceful with where God has put us. And then you also think about his word. Are we being resourceful with his word? Are we getting all that we can out of what we have here in the scriptures? We think about Samuel, the prophet, when he was a child. There's this wonderful verse that talks about him as he grew up in 1 Samuel 3:19. It says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground." He let none of his words fall to the ground. That's very resourceful, isn't it? That's how Samuel was with the word of God. And so part of being a tent thinker is being that same way, being very resourceful with what God has given you, and not letting any of his words fall to the ground. And rather, we let his word transform our hearts and our minds. When we get to the scriptural tents and the tent dwellers, the first one that I think of is Abraham. You know, he was always dwelling in tents out of Ur of the Chaldees. You think about Abraham and Sarah traveling from place to place, going wherever God led them. And in Hebrews 11, we have a good description of this and the spiritual lesson that we can learn from it. And Hebrews 11, as we know, is the faith chapter. It talks about the faithful men and women of old. So in Hebrews 11:9, it says about Abraham, "By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to that city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." And then in verse 13, it said, "All these died in faith, not having received these things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth." And so a lesson that we could learn from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in their tent dwelling is that we're just passing through, that we too should be strangers and pilgrims to this earth. Rather, we should look for that city whose builder and maker is God. We need to look forward to the kingdom that Christ will establish on this earth when Christ returns. We're living in this world, but we should not be of the world. In 1 John 2, it says, "The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." So that's the perspective that we should have, is that we're looking for the next world to come. And the other thing that we could take from Abraham is to have faith in what God has promised, to believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. That's what Abraham did. He believed that God was going to give him that land, which he will. And he had trust wherever God led him, he would go. And so that's the other thing that we need to realize in our lives, that we need to trust what God has told us, and we need to go where he tells us to go and do what he says that we need to be doing. When we look at the Feast of Tabernacles that God laid out in the Law of Moses, we had this whole week that was dedicated to remembering what God had done for them before. And that could be found in Leviticus 23. I'll just read it here. It says, "You shall dwell in tents for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in tents, that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel to dwell in tents when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And so God dedicated this feast to remember the past, to remember, to remind them of what he had done for them, that great deliverance, and to remind them of how their forefathers dwelt in Egypt and were delivered under the hand of Moses. They had to remember what God had done for them, that they were slaves in Egypt until God delivered them from that bondage, and he led them to the promised land. And it was vitally important that they didn't forget that. So for our next Tent Thinker lesson, it's that we need to remember what God has done for us, because we too were in bondage to sin, weren't we? We were in spiritual Egypt until we were called out through Christ, and God provided that deliverance to us, called out from Egypt and to Christ. And think about the things that God has specifically done in your life, the situations that he's put you in, the times when you didn't think you would make it, and then something happens, something opens, a door opens for you, and God provides. You look back and you see how God works in your life, and a lot of times we don't notice it at the time. You know, we're so focused on our own troubles. But then you have that perspective, and you see where he was working with you. And so a tent thinker remembers what God has done for them. And that's what we're doing here this morning, isn't it? We're remembering Christ and what God has done through Christ and his sacrifice. And so when we take time to remember that deliverance that God has brought us from sin and death through his Son, and so our tent mindset reminds us where we came from and where we are now. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 9. I want to bring up a section of verses here. And this section looks at how Israel knew when it was time to move from place to place, how they knew that they needed to pack up and go to the next place where God led them. So Numbers 9, I'm going to start in verse 16. And it says, "So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the commandment of the Lord, the people of Israel set out. And at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in the camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, and when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time, that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there. The people of Israel remained in the camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses." You hear a lot of repetition. At the command of the Lord, they did this. At the command of the Lord, they did that. We too should do things at the command of the Lord, what he has set out in his scriptures. And it's fascinating that it said they'd be there maybe a day, maybe a morning, maybe a month, maybe longer. They didn't know when they were going to leave. And I don't know if it was because of maybe there was a water source there, or, you know, the practical reason that you might leave. But it was not consistent. They had to be ready at any moment to pack up and leave. And when we think about spiritual lessons that we could gain from that, that type of lifestyle, it doesn't allow you to set down your roots, be too attached to one place. It's the lifestyle of a stranger and a pilgrim that Abraham had. And so for us, that tent mindset is to be ready to leave at any moment. When our Lord calls us to the marriage supper, will we answer the call? Will we be ready? Or will we be too attached to this life, too rooted down to answer the call of the bridegroom? Matthew 22, Christ gives a parable. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage.' But they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise." And so a tent thinker needs to be ready to answer that call to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We can't be too busy with our day-to-day lives. It's easy to get lost in the hustle and bustle of life and to forget about the things that really matter. Because what we're doing here today, that's what really matters. Being here in fellowship with one another, in remembrance of Christ and what he's done. And being a tent dweller makes it hard to have many possessions, doesn't it? Because you only have this limited space in which you could pack all this stuff. And you don't want to take large things with you when you go from place to place. And so by living that way, it forces you to care less about those material things. That lifestyle creates an environment where it's easier to focus on heavenly treasures rather than our earthly treasures. You think about Christ and his disciples. You remember what he sent them out with? He didn't send them out with caravans and all the luxuries of life. He said, "Go out with a walking stick and the clothes on your back." And that was it. They learned to rely on God for provision. It makes me think of Christ telling him in Luke 12, "If God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." So the lesson here is to focus on the kingdom, rather than to focus on the things of this earth, our material possessions. That's a wonderful exhortation from our Lord, isn't it? I love it in Scripture when we're given insight into the different trades that people did that followed Christ. You think about Peter, James, and John, the fishermen, whom Christ changed to be fishers of men. Or you think about in Acts, Lydia, the seller of purple. Or you think about the centurion whose servant needed to be healed, or Zacchaeus, the tax collector, all these different walks of life. Where there's also tent makers in Scripture. If you remember Paul and Aquila and Priscilla, they were of the same trade. They were all tent makers. And I think that they would have appreciated many of these lessons that we looked at this morning, these characteristics of that tent mindset. And so we too could also be spiritual tent makers. We could help and encourage people to put on that mindset that appreciates what God has created, that mindset that lets us be a people that doesn't let any word of God fall to the ground, but rather we cherish the word of God and let it transform our hearts and our minds. And it involves being resourceful with what God has given you, your talents, your abilities, your situations that you've been placed in. And so it means that you do the best you can with what you've been given. And by being spiritual tent makers, we would remain separate from the world, from the wickedness of this world, but rather look forward to the city whose builder and maker is God. We believe what God has said he's going to do. We believe he's going to carry it out. And then we obey his word, and we show faith and go where God has called us and do what he's commanded us to do. And as a tent thinker, we remember where we came from. We were called out of the world, and we have an appreciation for what God has done through Christ. He's called us out of Egypt and unto Christ. And we are also ready at any moment to drop everything to answer that call to the marriage supper when Christ returns. And so we focus on heavenly treasures rather than earthly treasures. The last thing that I want to bring up goes back to the tabernacle in the wilderness. And it was here where God would commune with the high priests. You know, once per year, they would get to go into the Holy of Holies. Remember, there's two sections. There's the Holy and then the Most Holy. And they were separated by a curtain, weren't they? And if you remember, in the Most Holy, there was the Ark of the Covenant, and it had the Ten Commandments, the laws that were given to Moses. It had a bowl that had the manna that God fed them in the wilderness, that sustenance. And there was also in that Ark of the Covenant, Aaron's rod that budded. And so that was the sign that Aaron was the chosen priest by God. And then we had the holy place, and in the holy place was a table of showbread. It had showbread. There was bread, and then there was wine for the drink offering, as we have here. We have the bread and the wine. And there was also the golden lampstand with the candles. And in Matthew 27, when Christ was on the cross, when he died, it says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split." We learn in Hebrews 10 that veil represented Christ. And more specifically, it represented the flesh of Christ. In Hebrews 10 and 19, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." And so God chose to reveal himself in this tent to Israel. And it's in the Most Holy that we too can commune with God. And that way has been opened to us through the sacrifice of Christ. And so when we pray to God, we pray through Christ, our high priest and our mediator, our coming king. And so the last lesson that I'll leave you with this morning is simply, it's a verse that we know very well, but I want us to think about it in the context of the tabernacle and the symbolism that's involved there. And so the first part of this verse says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We showed that veil in the tabernacle rent right in the middle, separating the holy from the most holy, and that opened the most holy for us. The second half of this verse is, you know, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And for us, the Most Holy is now available through Christ.